Last week, as we were in the Revelation and we were looking at what two weeks ago when we were studying through the Revelation and we were looking at what Daniel saw and what John saw in the Revelation, and as he saw this terrible beast rising out of the sea of humanity, and it was fierce, more fierce than any beast that he had ever known before. And so so we got to wondering what this beast was about. And so the only way really to find out what the beast coming out of the sea is about is to go back in history, go back to the book of Daniel, and look at the beast that Daniel sees, because each of those beasts kind of go along with this last and final beast. There's four beasts that Daniel saw. They go right along with the beast that that John saw. As we get to the fourth beast of Daniel's vision, we'll see the beast that John saw coming out of the sea more readily. We'll understand more about it. And so if we'll open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to look at the four beasts, and I'm just going to read through 1 through 14 here, and then we'll go back and look at it. When you get there, say amen, because don't want to lose you. Amen. All right. Woohoo. If you got the... Okay, if you got the right Bible, it's 1,131. 30, yeah, anyhow. If you get to 31, you've got 30 on the other side, so you're in good shape. Okay. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and the vision was while it was on his... The visions of his head while on his bed, and he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. What that tells us right there is that he just wrote the main things. There's other stuff in it he didn't copy, he didn't write down, but the main things God wanted him to remember, so he wrote it down. And Daniel spoke, saying, "I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirred up, and they stirred up the great sea," and we saw that in the Revelation, the great sea. And the beast that came out, and the four great beasts coming out from the sea, each different from the other. The first beast was a lion, and it had wings, it had eagle's wings, and I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, it was like a bear. It raised up on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." After this, I looked, and behold, there was another like a leopard, which had its four wings of a bird. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast. It was dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong, and it had huge iron teeth, and it was devouring and breaking into pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and there was another horn, a little horn that came up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and his mouth speaking pompous words. And I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated, and his garment was white as snow, and his hair and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and the throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered to him. 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. And the court was seated, and the books were open. And I watched them, because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, and their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I watched in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And when he was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the peoples and nations and languages served him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. praise God for that, especially for the last two verses of that, you know, because when he watched to see the night in the night vision, it was one like the Son of Man, and that dominion was not taken away. We look at all the other beasts, and we'll be looking at these beasts, and we're going to be able to see back in history these beasts, who they were, how they came, and how they were destroyed, how they fell. And there's still yet one beast, that fourth beast that he talked about, that's greater than all the other three beasts combined. And so we're going to look at all of these beasts, and also there's the male and the ram and the he-goat. And those, we'll talk about the Mesopotamian and the Greek and how they fought and how it represents those. So the Mesopotamian, which is wrong. The Medo-Persian and the Grecian empires are the bear and the ram, the leopard and the he-goat. They are the same in the vision. It's kind of interesting how man sees things and how God sees things. The way that man sees things, kind of like that vision of this colossus over top, he sees gold and silver and brass, and he sees the iron and the legs of iron, and how man sees his kingdoms as these great, marvelous things. They're worth value. And the way that God sees them, he sees them as ravenous beasts tearing each other apart. You know, God sees them quite different than what man sees them, kind of like what we talked about growth. This morning we were talking about growth and how man sees growth as numbers and God sees growth as individuals actually maturing. And so this is about the same thing, because we looked at the Colossus a couple weeks ago that Daniel saw. And today we're going to be looking at the beast and how the beast coincide with the Colossus. And the first beast, it was a lion. It had eagle's wings. Okay. And so if you can see the first one right there, it's the Babylonian Empire. And as you look at some of the descriptions of this beast and what it was, the first beast, it was like a lion. It had eagle's wings. And we watched as we saw it lifted up from the earth, and it was stood on 2 feet, and it had a heart given to it. We also saw where its wings were plucked out. Now, what does all that mean? I mean, really and truly, there hasn't been a lion with wings on it, right? Well, in the Babylonian kingdom, they had these very same gorgals, is what I'm going to call them, gorgals, these lion statues that were in the Babylonian Empire. In, I believe it was 1840 to 1850, Sir Henry Laylard, Sir Henry Laylard, he was an archaeologist, and he went to Babylonia. That doesn't even sound right. It sounds like a sandwich. I'm having a Babylonian sandwich. Anyhow, he went to Babylon, and he brought back these two gorgals or gargoyles or statues. He brought them back, and you can still see them today. They're right outside of the British Museum in London. They brought them there. They set them up, and you can see this description that Daniel had made into stone, and they're there. They're exactly how he described it. Okay, now as we saw this being the Babylonian Empire, it represents Nebuchadnezzar, the king. And in Daniel chapter 4, there's a story about Nebuchadnezzar. And he was looking at his empire one day, and he said, "Look at this great empire that I have built. I, Nebuchadnezzar, have built this." And God struck him down. God said, well, "I'm going to make you insane, and you're going to go and you're going to eat grass like an ox for a point of time. And you're going to go absolutely nuts. You're going to be living in the ground outside for like 3 years. In 3 years, you're going to sleep under the stars, and the dew is going to fall on you. And you're going to be in that state until the time of your repentance," which it would take 3 years. 3 years later, he was stood back up. So he was mighty. He was powerful. He was able to fly. God plucked his wings off, took his mobility away, humbled him, and gave him a heart of a man instead of the heart of a god, which he really thought he had. And so that was the first beast. It is the Babylonian Empire. His wings were plucked off. Nebuchadnezzar, it's actually, if you want to look it up, we can look at it real quick. It's chapter 4, since we're there anyhow, verses 20 through 27. And three, four. It's not a long read, so.
Part about it being that it's only 31.
Oh, is it? 19. I don't have a 431. Yeah, I do. I was looking in the wrong place. Well, so do you want to read it from 19 on? You know, or just, 31. There, it's all in here. And the word, and while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like an ox, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man and gives to it to whomever he chooses. And that at very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and he ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew from heaven, and his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, okay, and his nails like birds' claws. And so you see, everything that Daniel saw about Nebuchadnezzar happened to him. You know, that he was there, that he would be like an eagle, that he was going to be a wild beast. And he turned into a wild beast. And for 7 years, it was out there. He was out there in the field doing those things. The second beast that we saw, it was like a bear. And this bear had three ribs between its teeth. We find that in Daniel 7 and 5. If you want to go, we just read that. But anyhow, thing about the bear is it's not quite like the lion. The lion is swift. It's the king of all beasts. The bear is the second strongest next to the lion. I mean, we can get into the dramatic things. Ooh, the elephant really is the king of the beast. No, it is, I guess. But you don't see an elephant go around eating other stuff. It doesn't eat flesh, you know, so lions do. And so it's considered that lion is the king of the jungle, or king of all the beasts. And the bear is the second in line after the lion. And it's the difference between the bear and the lion are quite obvious. The bear is a little more clumsy, but it's a whole lot stronger. It's just meat. It's just a tough animal, and it's prepared to do stuff. It doesn't run fast like a lion does. It doesn't have the speed or the agility of a lion, but it is very dangerous when you have it cornered and when it's doing its thing, it's strongest after the lion, and it eats a lot. Its voracity is great. It eats more than a lion does, and it moves a little bit slower, which coincides with the Medo-Persian Empire. That empire was led by Xerxes. It trampled through Greece with an army of 2,500,000 soldiers. Okay, in that day, 2,500,000 soldiers. And it moved, it was different from Nebuchadnezzar's army that would come and it would just swoop in real fast and it would capture you and take you off back to Babylon. Xerxes' army would come and he would envelop the land. And the part about it, consuming much flesh, think of trying to feed 2,500,000 soldiers. Okay, they would come into a land and they would devour everything. They would eat it all. Okay, and they would leave behind it just truly desert. There would be nothing. It was all consuming fire as it went through, and it just completely ate and consumed everything in its path. And it was that is the bear that we look at. The three ribs that are in the bear's mouth, they represent Libya, Lydia, Lydia. See, I thought that was a chick's name. I thought it was. No, I didn't. Wow. Cool. And still not worth nothing.
No, but I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah. That. Yeah. It really is. And these three ribs, the Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt, these were the three countries that tried to oppose Xerxes as he came through the land. They said, "We're going to stop you." And they just couldn't. They were overwhelmed by this enormous army that just walked right through the land and consumed them. And so they were consumed, they were overturned, they were conquered. The third beast, it's like a leopard. Okay, this leopard is a little different. It has four heads and four wings. And a great dominion was given to it. And you see that in Daniel 7:6. The leopard, it's the swiftest of animals. You know, it just moves fast. And this coincides with the Greeks, Alexander the Great, of the Grecian Empire. He comes in, and this is where we get the two, the ram and the he-goat. That's where you get those two fighting. Those were the two that actually fought and struggled against each other. And, of course, the Grecians ended up taking over the Medo-Persian because of the swiftness of their attack. I mean, they were fast. They would come, and they would just, like a leopard jumping on you, and they'd just take advantage of you, just take you over. The wings of this animal, this beast that he saw, it only took 10 years to overthrow the Persian Empire. That was pretty great. It only took 10 short years from the time that Alexander took his army and started moving across the land. It took 10 years for him to totally conquer this 2,500,000 man army. 10 years. Did I say 10 or 2? 10. This many. All of your fingers. Took that many years. Yeah. Unless you've been in a shovel accident. Or your hand graft, yeah. Then it'd be 9.5 years. And anyhow, a fowl, it doesn't fly. Okay, it flies for very short distances, like a chicken, you know, just from here to its roost, and comes down. Fowls, they don't fly great or fast. And so it talks about the wings being wings of a fowl. And something that coincides with that is Alexander's army. It didn't soar like an eagle. What it did, it did hand-to-hand ground combat. Okay, they would come in, and it was just down and dirty. They didn't fly. They swooped in, and they landed on the ground, and they just kicked your butt. They were just wonderful fighters, warriors, and they when they conquered, they just took the lands, their armies, their low fighters. They fought in the lands, in the ditches and stuff, and they did it that way. The four heads are the quarters of the earth. Okay, that's the way it's explained to me here. Took 10 years to overthrow. The four are the four quarters that he divided his kingdom up into. He took the kingdom that he had and he divided it into fours. And when he divided it into fours, that's what the four heads are for. And he had four guys that ruled it together. Now, this fourth beast, it was unlike any beast that Daniel had heard about. It was dreadful. It was terribly strong. I guess we got to step back to the first three beasts. All of these three beasts here have already happened. These are history. This next one, the fourth beast right here, the Roman Empire, it has started, but it's going to be restarted. This beast and the beast in the Revelation are one in the same. Only this is a beast that was not really conquered, but it split itself into two parts, the eastern and the western divisions. And when it split itself into two parts, it just kind of dissolved. They were never truly conquered like all the other kingdoms and warlords before it. They were conquered. And do you want to move down? Okay. There it is. Yep, yep. And so you see the Roman Empire, how it was divided into the Eastern and the Western divisions. And it calls it the Greek and the Papal Church, Orthodox and Orthodox, you know, the Roman Catholics, the Papal Church, and the Greek Church, which is very much the same thing. They divided right there. And so anyhow, that empire was never truly conquered like the other empires. They had someone come in and conquer them. This one here just split apart and then just kind of fell apart. You know, there was nothing to hold it together, nothing to congeal it. So they were never truly conquered. And so as we look a little bit further down, they will come back together in this last and final kingdom, which is iron and clay. It's the 10 toes, which coincide with the 10 horns of the beast that we saw. Okay, the 10 horns of the beast, and there's one of these horns that will rip up three kingdoms. It'll rip up by the roots. It'll pull three horns out. Okay, and three of these horns, we don't know exactly. He has little words written here. I couldn't tell what they were. You know, I took my magnifying glass and everything else. I couldn't figure out what they were. But anyhow, this little horn is going to come out, and he speaks these pompous words. The little horn also is known as the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And he will be the one who is being indwelt by the spirit of Satan. He will become the son of perdition. And as that, he's going to gather these 10 reunited nations that will be joined with iron and clay, as you saw in the Colossus. Okay, the Colossus, as you know, iron and clay don't mix. They don't hold together. You can't get them. You can't strike an arc and make it weld. Iron and clay does not go together. Okay, and so this Antichrist is going to have this false kingdom, this false sense of security that comes up. And it's, like I said, it's represented by the small horn, the littlest horn that rips out three other horns by the roots. Those three horns are three empires or three ruling nations of the time. You know, when this little beast comes up, and there's a lot of speculation with this because nobody really knows what the three horns are. Okay, I'd love to say that it's America's one of them and Russia's one of them and, I don't know, Yugoslavia's the other one. Who knows, or China or whatever. We really don't know what they are, but we do know that they were there and they were run by the beast, this great fourth beast. They're part of that empire that he had or has. And when this small horn comes up, this horn boasting great things with pompous words, he's going to disarm them. And as we saw, some of the characteristics of the Antichrist, he is one who comes, who speaks great words. He is an orator unlike any other orator before. And he disarms the nations of the world. He takes all of their weapons away. He takes their food. And he says, I can redistribute it and I can make true peace on the earth. And for half of 7 years, 3.5 years, he accomplishes this. The little horn, we're going to see him. We'll be looking a lot into this guy, you know, here in the next couple weeks. He is the Antichrist. He's part of this fourth terrible beast. He is considered, but Daniel has considered the ten horns. He was amazed to see a little horn, the little one who came up among them. He took up three roots and he destroyed them. He examined the little horn more closely and he noticed that it had eyes of a man and a mouth of a man and it spoke great things in Daniel 7 verse 8. This mystified and it troubled Daniel as it would anybody. He had seen nothing corresponding to the ten toes of the Colossus until then. It must mean that a new and additional revelation that God had not seen fit to impart to the king, to the Gentile king Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so there's things that he wouldn't know, and all these things that happen with the little horn, with this small word that speaks these great things, will happen in the latter days for Daniel. You can see that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 14, where the angel's explaining this to him. And so Daniel approached the heavenly messenger who stood before him. Who he had seen, who told about the four beasts and the four kings and the four kingdoms in verse 23, that they should rise up out of the earth. And Daniel wanted to know the truth about this fourth beast and the little horn among the ten horns and ten kings that will rise, yada, yada, yada. I think I've already talked about this. Okay, and the vision of the fourth beast we see is it's a degeneration. Okay, it's all of the metals of the Colossus, and it's all of the things that's put together. It's made into this undescript monster. It is the head of gold, it's the metallic, it's all of the old things that were put together, bound up into a new dynasty. It's twice as bad and big as the other ones. Okay, and then he starts talking about this he-goat, which we kind of went over, and that kind of stuff. And let's see. Yeah, he's going to get into some pretty wild stuff right here, and I guess I should have done a little further reading. I wasn't expecting to get this far. Wow, hey, it's almost 7 o'clock. All right, so I did good. What, you're looking? Wow, so I did good. I studied just enough to get us to where we're going to be. All right, because I didn't want to get too deep into it. And I didn't want to leave you lacking anything. Everything that we talked about is covered in the book right there, and we've pretty much gone across it. What we've done is brought you through history from the Babylonian Empire through the Grecian, through the Medo-Persian to the Grecian, to the four divisions of the Alexanders, to Roman Empire, and then the division of the Roman Empire, and all this, which... If you look right here, it's in the dispensation of grace, this division of the Roman Empire. So it takes a long time for it to happen. You know, ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came and this dispensation of grace started, if you think about it in time history and of the Colossus, that started right at just below his skirt. Like a guy should wear a skirt anyhow. But anyhow, it started just below his skirt at the division of the Roman Empire that God allowed these all this stuff to happen and to show up. And so can you pan out and see the whole thing real quick? Oh, there you go. Yay. And so what we're seeing here, we're right over here towards this. We're looking at the Antichrist. Next week, we'll be giving more into the toes and stuff of Daniel. And then we'll be looking into we've already looked at the bowl judgments and all that kind of stuff. We're going to be looking at the woman who rides the beast, this other beast with all the horns coming out of it, this leopard that comes out of the sea of humanity. We'll actually be getting back into the book of Revelation, which is a very exciting thing for me, beast out of the earth. And so the different descriptions of the Antichrist from the Old Testament and the New Testament and what Paul saw, who he was and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of descriptive things about this guy. And it's kind of odd because the Bible really doesn't tell us to look for the Antichrist. What he says is look for Jesus Christ. Wait for Jesus' return, because that's what's important to us. Okay, all this other stuff that we're studying and learning about through the Revelation right here really is for the folks who are going to be left behind. You know, these are for the people who will be left after the rapture happens, because none of this happens until the church is called out. This great beast that comes out of the sea, all of these things, this Antichrist, we may not ever see him pop into the... We might not see him. You know, it stands a very good chance that we won't know who he is, even if he is our president. No, I take that back. I knew I could get you there. And so, not that he is. Everybody said George Bush was the Antichrist too, you know. And before him, it was Kennedy, you know. So before that, it was Clinton. Clinton. I'm just a good liar. I had you Americans fooled so bad, smoking marijuana, not inhaling, and not having sex with those women. And so, anyhow, squirrel, we've come to the end of the study tonight, and I thank you so much. I praise God for you, each and every one. And I hope that you'll take some time and get into this revelation, get into this study a little bit, and kind of check out. Make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Make sure that what I say was right. I like it because you got your Bible open. You must have some pretty good notes there because you're getting me on Lydia and stuff.
This is the thing. I think a lot of people have trouble with Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so comforted by what Daniel says
in
chapter 7.
Yeah.
That he was troubled.
Yeah.
Like, he was not comforted at all.
At all.
By what God showed him.
Yeah. Because it's a very confusing and a dreadful time. It really is. When you look at the things that were going to happen to his people, it was dreadful until he saw the last kingdom come up. And that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, a dominion that will never end. And we're on his side. Praise God. You know, we're on his side. That's the good thing. All this other stuff is going to happen, but it has very little to do with us. I mean, it's written in the Word of God for a blessing for us so that we'll know. What we're supposed to do with that is to share it with unbelievers. The revelation really is meant, is for a book that will be left behind after the church is gone. Okay? And so they'll be able to look at this book and they'll be able to understand it. Now, I don't know if we can ever really sit down across the table with an unbeliever and try to unveil the revelation to them. It's just too deep. Too rich. And as you can tell, we've been doing this for, golly, months and months and months now. And we just got into the meat of it, you know. And I'm not truly qualified to teach it. But God says, if you read it, if you believe it, even if you don't understand it, I read that this week in Spurgeon, that it doesn't matter if you understand it or not, you read it and you believe it. You believe it because it's God's Word. That God's Word has a lot of stuff we may never understand this side of eternity. That's okay. You believe it. God created in 6 days and 7 days He rested. It's the truth. It's God's Word. You don't need any more about it. Somebody tells you millions, billions, trillions of years because there's a rock that has a petrified dino turd in it. And because it's a gazillion million years old, everybody's supposed to believe that. No. The Word of God says 6 literal days a few thousand years ago. That's what I believe, you know. And that's why do I believe it? Because God's Word says it. End of story. You know, God talks about these beasts coming out of the sea. Do I understand it completely and fully? No, I do not. Cannot. My mind cannot wrap around it. Cannot comprehend it. But it says it. I believe it. Well, it says it. Whether I believe it or not, it's the end of story. You know, you don't have to believe it. It's going to be that way. You know, and one of the proofs that we know is going to be that way is these visions that Daniel had. We can find those beasts specifically laid out in history. You can see them. You can see the Colossus that it was shown, and you can find it. Boom, boom, boom. Times that it started and times that it ended. You can see the beasts that he saw. Times that they started and times that they ended. And so we have a backtrack of truth. And if you have a backtrack of fulfilled prophecy, you know that the prophecy forward you can rely on because the foundation is right. And so, read your Bible and believe your Bible, even if you don't understand it, just believe it. You know, it takes faith. And without faith, what? It's impossible to please God.